Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I want to continue this afternoon in our series through our study through Psalm 23. We considered last time the fact that David rests in and proclaims that the Lord is his shepherd and therefore he will want for nothing. And now he continues with that shepherd imagery in mind, saying that he, the Lord, makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. And so I want to, first of all, consider this remarkable imagery of green pastures and still waters that David refers to, because that's not always our experience, of course, even as we follow the Lord. In fact, it may be because we follow the Lord. Second, that he makes me lie down. And third, finally, he leads me. But first, just this imagery of green pastures and still waters that comes out of Psalm 23:2. It's obviously a picture of calm security, of nourishing food. I'm not agricultural. Most of you are probably not anywhere near as agricultural as this society was. But even we can get that imagery that green pastures and still waters is an imagery of, has the idea of calm security, nourishing food for sheep, of real rest, of solid sustenance. The provision described here directly connects to not wanting for anything that he had already said. I want for nothing. I want for nothing as he makes me lie down in green pastures, as he leads me beside still waters. Now, the fact is we have all known what it is to have, quote unquote, a good day. When the children are behaving, maybe, the sun is shining, our body is healthy, our spouse is agreeable. You know, everything just is sort of going our way, at least for that day. It's a good day. And certainly, these moments are a blessing from our benevolent God. We dare not, we should not ever take such days for granted. But this is, we need to be very careful as we look at Psalm 23. This is no more the green pastures that David is talking about here of God's people than loving those who love you is a unique mark of being God's child. You remember Jesus even talked about this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, love your enemies. In fact, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Because, you know, if you only love those who love you, what blessing is that? How does that reflect God? How does that make you a special child of God? If you love those who love you, what reward do you have even, Jesus says? Because don't even the publicans, the tax collectors do that? Yeah, sure, any human can love someone who's loving them, who's anyone can, as it were, pat you on the back when you're patting their back. But God gives both believers and unbelievers sun and rain, Jesus points out. Human affection is something that is part of our image, that we are made in the image of God. And so these things are not necessarily something that is unique to the people of God. Anyone can love someone who's loving them. Anyone can have a good day of the kind that we described. But Jesus says that the unique mark of God's children is not how they behave, not how they respond when everything is going their way, but the supernatural and therefore unnatural, we might even say, strength that they show when nothing seems to be going their way. That's what is remarkable. So something about these green pastures we need to understand is unique to those who are the sheep of God. Not, this is not just a good day. Sometimes anyone can have a good day. But this is something that is supernatural, therefore unnatural. This, when you see or experience for yourself unnatural, supernatural strength, that is something that is remarkable. So then the question we must ask of our text is this: what are these green pastures? What is that? What are these still waters that are unique to believers, to people who are following the Lord as their shepherd? Not just they found a good deal on something, or the sun is shining, or things fell together well today, but what is unique about these green pastures, these still waters, that only those who have the Lord as their shepherd will enjoy? In what way, we might say, put another way, in what way is the tortured martyr experiencing these green pastures? In what way is the exhausted single parent led by still waters as a believer? The grief-stricken widow, because being a Christian doesn't keep you from being widowed. The pain-racked hospital patient, the struggling sinner, the half-starved third-world saint. In what way are these believers in Christ, each of whom is trusting in and following their shepherd Jesus Christ, in what way are they lying down in green pastures? In what way are they being led by still waters? The peaceful, perfecting work of Jesus Christ is what God is pointing us to in this psalm. It is through Jesus Christ, and it is to His glory that God leads His people. And we see this not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. In Hebrews 13:20, I think we've even referenced this already, but it speaks of the God of peace. And that's remarkable, because Christians were not all experiencing peaceful circumstances, or were all well-to-do, certainly. Some of them persecuted, some of them having to be wrenched out of their culture, wrenched out of their comfort zone. But the God of peace, but what kind of peace? The peace that is from the fact that God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of His eternal covenant. May that God and that peace, the writer of Hebrews says, make you perfect, equip you with everything that is good, that you may do His will. It is in this way that He will be working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ. To Him, Jesus, be glory forever and ever. And so the writer of Hebrews, even talking about the shepherding work of Jesus on our behalf, that great shepherd of the sheep, in context, talks about what is this peace, what is this joy? It is as God is working in us, equipping us with everything that is good, that you may do His will, working in you what is pleasing to His sight. So even if, in other words, we go through difficult, painful circumstances, which the writer of Hebrews is very frank about, even when we go through difficult, painful circumstances, this is the wonderful thing. If God is, through those very circumstances, fashioning us according to His will so that we give glory to Christ as our great shepherd, then we are experiencing there, in that experience, in that very challenge, in that trial, we are experiencing the green pastures of God's provision. The shepherd who makes you lie down in green pastures makes you mature, makes you, equips you, I might say, works in you what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ and to Christ's glory. Real rest is found in Christ. And solid sustenance is feeding on Christ. J.R. Macduff writes, "This short but touching epitaph is frequently seen in the catacombs at Rome. In Christo in pace, in other words, in Christ in peace, So this is the catacombs of Rome. These are the persecuted Christians hiding out for their lives, dying in droves, and yet inscribed on the wall, "In Christ, in peace." And so Macduff says, realize the constant presence of the Shepherd of Peace. He makes me lie down. He leads me. If we are in Christ, if we are with Christ, then we have the green pastures that the psalmist speaks of. In other words, Jesus is not only the shepherd, as in the first verse, as we noticed in verse 1, but he is also the green pastures. He is also the still waters. He's not only the shepherd that guides and protects us, he is the destination, and we are protected from wandering away from him. That's what the shepherd protects us from. If we were to have Jesus as our shepherd, and yet Jesus as shepherd were to allow us to wander away from him, then we would have lost the greatest treasure that God has to give. But if Jesus as our shepherd allows even pains, sorrows, grief, loss to come into our life so that through those experiences we do not wander away from him. In fact, he crushes all our little hopes in order to focus our eyes on the one great hope. If he shepherds according to this fashion, then he has shepherded faithfully, Scripture says, because he is the not only great shepherd, but the great green field of provision, of feasting for the people of God. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of the salvation that we have in Jesus, that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By his wounds, by Jesus' wounds on the cross, you and I are healed. But how does he heal us? The very next verse goes on to say, "For you were like sheep going astray, but are now," after the healing work of Christ on the cross for you and the working out of that in your life, "you are now returned unto the shepherd," the bishop or overseer of your souls. And so how does God heal us in Christ? By shepherding us away from our natural inclinations, away from our wandering ways, and back to the shepherd himself. And if this seems like a mixing of metaphors, and for English majors in particular, this is hard sometimes to take. If, you know, three or four metaphors thrown in a single verse, it's like, wait a second, that's mixing metaphors. That's one comparison here and a different comparison here. All I can say is it is purposeful. It's obviously purposeful. We see the same thing from Jesus' own mouth in the Gospel of John when he says he is the door, and he is the shepherd, and he is the pasture. John 10:9-10. "I am the door," Jesus says. In fact, "if anyone enters in by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find" what? "Pasture." The thief, though, Jesus warns against, comes to steal and take and destroy. But he says, "No, I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he goes on then, just a few chapters later, to say, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one, in fact, can even come to the Father except through me." Wait a second, we might say, wait, there's this door, there's this pasture, there's the shepherd, there's the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is everything here. Exactly. Exactly. That's the point Jesus is making, is not just that he guides us, but that he guides us to himself. Because there is nowhere else that God can give us his best than in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. John Gill describes these green pastures as the flesh and blood, the righteousness and sacrifice of Christ, which faith is led to and lives on and is refreshed and invigorated by. So these green pastures that the Good Shepherd leads us to is none other than the righteousness and sacrifice of Christ. And faith feeds on Christ, lives on Christ and His sacrifice, is refreshed and invigorated by what Christ has done for me as the unfailing proof of God's love to me. So even in the darkest or most difficult or temporary of pleasures, most difficult of times, we can feast on Christ because He is always that good. So the Good Shepherd's green pastures, are not past. They're not in the past. They're not temporary in the life of an elderly believer, for instance, in what the Solomon calls his or her evil days. Right? When there's no good days maybe anymore. There's not a single day without pain. There's not a single day without difficulty. This doesn't mean that the green pastures are gone forever. Oh, back in the day when I was young, yes, I remember some good days, those green pasture days. No, the green pastures are not past. They are not temporary. Nor are they missed entirely by the new Christian convert who is confined to a wheelchair, perhaps. What? I never even got to know the green pastures. Now I'm a believer and I'm already confined to a wheelchair. And no, the believer, the new Christian believer confined to a wheelchair, can still know the still waters, can still feast and be nourished by the green pastures. Just like the thief who is nailed to a cross, he knew what it was, even while dying an excruciating death, even while looking back, no doubt, on a lifetime of regrets, to feast, to actually be made to lie down by still waters. If you have Christ, then you have the best and only good that God has to offer. Let me say it again, because I want to be very clear. If you have Jesus Christ, you have the best that God has to offer, and in fact, you have the only good that God has to offer. There is no good in all this world apart from Christ. But in Christ, plus nothing else even, and this is so hard to believe in the moments of sorrow or the moments of physical pain, but if we have Christ, we have everything, everything that God has to offer His children, the very best and all of it. The rich, the healthy, the powerful are in a soul desert without Christ. And the poor and the sick and the helpless are in green pastures. They are drinking from deep and still waters with Christ. Psalm 37:16 says that it's better to have a little with the righteous than the abundance that even many wicked people might enjoy. Now, let me make clear, Christ is not little, but He is the righteousness. If we are completely righteous in Him, being made righteous through Him in every good work, by His working, we have more than the very best abundance that many wicked people could amass altogether. If we have Him, a little of Him is all we need. And so when we talk about green pastures and still waters, may we never separate these things in our minds from Christ, because this is what God promises to never take away from us. And almost everything else, He does not promise in that way in this life. But He also, we read secondly, makes me lie down. Not like making a child take a nap, you know, they go up the stairs kicking and screaming and they don't want to be made to lie down, but we make them lie down because we know they need to take a nap. But that's not what He's referencing here. He's saying, no, he's thinking more along the lines we might We might compare it to a parent who comes into the sleeping child's room at night and the child is woken with a nightmare and they're screaming, they're crying, and they can't lie down and go to sleep. But through the comfort, through the presence of the parent, through the encouragement of the parent, they can be brought to lie down yet again. And that's what the psalmist has in mind. It's a picture of the shepherd's strength as he makes us lie down, rest in his presence. We rest in his arm, not just because it is gentle, but also because it is strong. There's something about, you know, a young sibling doesn't turn to another young sibling and say, I had a nightmare, and the young sibling says, everything is going to be okay, and they just go back to sleep. There's something about the parent, right, coming into the room, and the additional strength, the greater strength that the parent has that comforts the child. And likewise here, he makes me to lie down. I'm comforted by who he is, the fact that he's greater than I am, and the fact that he is present. Isaiah 40:11 speaks of this very work. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, Isaiah says. He will gather, in fact, the lambs in his arms. What a sweet, tender shepherding picture. He will carry them in his bosom and, in fact, gently lead. That's the same Hebrew. One word, gently lead, is the same one Hebrew verb as in Psalm 23. He leads me. He will gently lead those who are with young. How does he do this? The very next verse, interestingly, immediately turns from this tender picture of holding a lamb in his arms to talk about how strong the shepherd is. He has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. There's some day when you're washing the dishes, just cup your hand and allow the water to pool there and think, that's how God measures the oceans. That's what the psalmist is saying. There's something so big about God and his view of God that therefore the presence of the shepherd brings with it comfort, brings with it great encouragement. He leads me. He doesn't drive me like cattle. No, he leads me, even carries me. So his strength, rather than being threatening, is actually supremely comforting. It is his strength because he's my shepherd that comforts me. It's the stronger the parent, the stronger the comfort when you have a nightmare. And the presence of this strong shepherd is exactly what will comfort me. Supremely comforting. Sam Storms comments, there are countless descriptions of God in the Psalms. He is a king who rules over us, a rock of immovable stability, a deliverer in times of distress, a fortress in whom we find refuge, a shield behind whom we safely retreat. But there's something special about his being a shepherd. There's a dimension of personal tenderness and intimacy in the image of God as the one who shepherds his lambs. David well remembers the attentive watch and protective love he had for his sheep. Yes, he may well have cried out in a moment of revelatory insight, that's what God is to me and to you. As he thought about what he had done for sheep himself, he clearly drew a direct line from that and said, this is one of the ways that I relate to God, is that he shepherds me. Again, in Psalm 103, it was our text this morning in our Bible reading, know that the Lord, he is God. You see, that brings comfort to know that the Lord is not just someone else who's trying to figure out what's going on in the world, is not just someone else who's fighting for your good, but he is God. And it is he who has made us, in fact, and not we ourselves. We are his people. Whose people? God's people. The Lord is God, and we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. It is that is so comforting and encouraging, to just turn our eyes on who God is and recognize how great God is, and that He is enlisted on our behalf to comfort and encourage us. And so therefore, the psalmist says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Thank God that you are not self-owned today. Thank God that you are not self-owned today. That your Maker is your Master. That the Creator is your Shepherd. Dane Ortlund, who has written a lot on Psalm 23, preached a lot on this particular text, being an Old Testament scholar, writes, Psalm 23 was still in my Bible this morning, so no reason to be grouchy today. If we could just let the strength and joy and seriousness of who God is for us in Christ sink down deep, and recognize every morning when we get up, is Psalm 23 still there? Is the Lord still my shepherd? Then, still waters. Green pastures. I can feed right now, even if my circumstances don't change a bit. The fact that it is He that makes us lie down reveals unrest before Him and unrest without Him, right? If He's the one making us lie down, it means before He came to do that work in our heart, in our life, then we were desperately in need of that work. We couldn't figure it out on our own. We couldn't accomplish it through our own efforts. God's shepherding work through and to us turns us to Christ and does this wonderful work that we could not do for ourselves. Finally, He leads me. He not only makes me to lie down, He leads me. He leads me because, let's face it, I could not find the green pastures or the still waters without Him. He leads me by still waters because on my own, and I've tried, I could never find them. Even when things were going well, even when there was, you know, that good day, even when the sun was shining, even when everything seemed to be going my way, something deeply hollow inside without Christ. And only through His leading do I find truly green pastures that nourish my soul from the inside out. Not just the accumulation of as much stuff as I can possibly accumulate or as many accolades as I can possibly turn toward me. No, rather than this sort of this external hoarding that we try to do in order to fill the soul inside us. No, this comes from inside, and we are nourished. We are in green pastures because we have the Shepherd with us and because we are feeding on Christ. He leads me because I could not find any of it without Him. He leads me by His Spirit, whom He has promised to every single believer. Every single believer. In John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus says, regarding His leaving, physically leaving, He would ascend into heaven. He would not forever stay with His disciples on earth in the same form that He had been walking with them. He says, I will ask the Father, though, and He will give you another comforter. I have been a kind of comforter, a helper to you, but He will send another one of the same kind, that is the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. Forever. He will never leave you. He will never not be with you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. So the world looks at this green pasture that the psalmist is describing, and the world says desert. The world looks at the still waters that give us peace, and they say, I better get up and do some work because that is not enough. But the Spirit of truth, when He is given to us because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, He stays with you forever. And what He does by His very nature is He changes the way that you see peace and joy. And He gives those things to you forever, but not in the places you were looking before. In brand new places. In fact, probably the very places you were trying best to avoid. Jesus says, you know Him, this comforter, this helper, you know Him. He lives in you. And He will be in you. He will live in you without end. That is, I am convinced that the living of the Holy Spirit in the people of God is one of the things we think least about, but should think most about as believers. God in you. Not just God walking beside you. It's true that God is with you, but God is also in you. How will you continue when things that are unimaginable happen to you? You know, we hear news of maybe some tragedy befalling. We think, how can they go on? How can you go on when that happens? I'll tell you how. Not because of any strength or resolve or experience that you have, that you can draw from resources deep within you. No, because God is in you. That's how you will survive. That's how you will even feast. That's how you will lay down and rest. It's because the Spirit of God will not cease the working that He has begun in you. As the hymn writer says, He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught or filled up. Heavenly comfort is fulfilled completely in this blessed thought that He is right now leading me. Not driving me from the outside, not whipping me from behind like driving cattle, not even, because we can't even imagine this, but not even just from the outside, but from the inside He is leading us. From in your heart, from in your soul, as you read His Word, as you seek to follow Him, as you stumble, as you fall, as you wrestle with cold-heartedness, God is leading you in the midst of all that. He is not giving up on you. He is continuing the work that He has begun. He leads me by His Word, which He has promised is sufficient for my needs, to equip me for righteous living. And He leads me by His Spirit, who welcomes and receives that Word. So I should say then to every counsel, not from His Word, the same thing that Job said to his miserable comforters, oh, that you would just keep silent. That would be your wisdom. Wisdom for you would be, stop talking to me. That's how we ought to listen to all those voices in our minds that stir up our hearts to worry or to fear, for anxiety about the future. Every counsel that does not come from His Word, we can say to those counselors, just be quiet. That's the wisest thing you can do. Preach to yourself, as Jerry Bridges says. Preach to yourself this truth. When you are wrestling with some great struggle, when you can't go to sleep at night, preach this to yourself. Wisdom would be to silence those voices, because that does not come from God. That's not His Spirit. But what is His Spirit is the Spirit of peace that says, I have, through Christ, given you every guarantee that I will always be with you and that I am leading to a good and perfect purpose. He leads me by His providence, in addition to His Word, overruling everything around me for my good and for His glory. He leads which means he goes before me. Nothing I face, he has not already faced. The writer of Hebrews again reminds us, we are praying to a God who is touched by the feeling of our very weakness because our mediator, Jesus Christ, has known human weakness himself. He has walked this earth. He has known what it is to be tired. He has known what it is to be mocked. He has known what it is to be betrayed. He knows this, and so we can rest assured that he leads us not as some impartial, hard-hearted man whose job it is to get you from one place to another place. No, this is not some paid hand on the farm that's just trying to get the animals one way or another to this place. No. No, he leads going before you and in fact experiencing the very sorrows and griefs that you experience. Alongside this imagery of rest, though, is the imagery of activity, isn't it? He leads me, and if he's leading, that means I'm following, that means I'm doing something. He is only leading me if I am actively following him, in other words. We cannot say he is leading, but I'm standing still, can we? No, we have to recognize that he is leading me if I am actively following him. Christ is not my shepherd if I am not hearing his voice, if I am not recognizing him as my master, if I am not following him through the door. So our reply to such a shepherd should be as the lover in the Song of Solomon who says, "Tell me, you who my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make them to lie down at noon? That's where I want to be. Wherever you're leading, that's where I want to be. Where are you going? That's where I want to be." God leads his people. Yes, by his providence. Yes, by his word. Yes, by his spirit. But always, always to Christ as their sustenance and their safety. Anything else would actually be false security. It would be poison rather than nourishment to our souls. But Christ, being the perfect shepherd, leads us to himself as the great hope. And if need be, and honestly, in all of our lives, need be. The need is that many, many, many little hopes must be crushed in order for us to turn over and over and over again to the great hope through the great shepherd. May God bless you.